While a lot of people want to focus on violence in other parts of the country, I really want to focus on what's unfolding right here in our great state of Connecticut. Let's head to Hamden, where there has been a string of violent incidents in the city in just a matter of the last week and a half, 2 weeks. I want to focus in particular on one incident caught on camera that is so alarming. Last week, several suspects approached a home, knocked on a window, and sprayed it with bullets, then ran away. Luckily, in this instance, it sounds like the boy who was hit was shot in the legs but is going to recover. But when you watch this video, again, I think it highlights a massive problem, which is how easy it is for young people to access guns. And what can we effectively do about that? Joining us back on the show to weigh in on this is Gary McNamara, one of our law enforcement experts right here in Connecticut. And Gary, what was your initial take on this situation? Did you see the video?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Melissa. First of all, it's very disturbing because you can learn a lot from the video. I mean, obviously, these four individuals, all dressed in black, carrying long rifles. It's a targeted attack, really, and that speaks volumes towards some of the problems that may be occurring with some sort of a ongoing battle going on between what appears to be juveniles.
And again, Gary, I don't want to just kind of jump to conclusions. We don't know the ages or anything, but just from looking at this video, it does seem like these are young people. It does seem like this is very reckless behavior, obviously. I mean, to walk up to somebody's home, knock on the window, and then it felt like endlessly just start shooting. I mean, so it to me characterizes, I'm going to call it the immaturity level of a person. But again, it hasn't been confirmed that these are young people, I don't think. But it looks it, it seems it, and the risky behavior matches what we've seen with juvenile crime in recent years in Connecticut. What would you say about just the access to guns, first of all? I don't know what types of guns are used in that video. But to me, I mean, those are very violent weapons that they somehow got their hands on with no problem.
Yeah, and you're right. We don't know the age of the suspects, but just based upon the victim was a teen, has been identified as a teenager, and it appears that they knocked on the window to get someone's attention and then did that. So we can certainly say that these individuals are not adults in their 40s and 50s. They're all of a sudden kind of going out and settling an argument in this type of fashion. But here's the big issue that we have to, and I think everybody should look at the video. It's disturbing, but those guns are out there. Like right now, those guns are somewhere. And that, I think, is the biggest concern, that we know that the victim was a teen. We also know that a week earlier, an 18-year-old, or maybe a few days earlier, an 18-year-old in Hamden was set to meet someone. Word was that he was going to go meet someone, and then three individuals approached the car and shot and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm not connecting the two, but what I am saying is that obviously, based upon the video and what we see, there is some sort of an argument occurring between groups of individuals, it appears. And those guns are out there. And then they all ran, and reports are that they fled in a car. So that means those guns are in a car or were in a car, and we don't know where those guns are now. But the access that juveniles have to weapons certainly is really concerning.
Well, and I don't even want to just single out guns, not that that's not an important part of this conversation, Gare, but I mean, we also have to highlight that in the last week, there was a dispute between neighbors in Hamden that turned very violent. One woman who's in critical condition, and it was a stabbing that, again, stemmed from just a dispute between neighbors, escalating into this huge incident in the main entrance of an apartment building. And I guess my point being is there's a lot you could take away from this. First of all, do you think in some regard we are focusing enough on just A, how violent things can get, without kind of de-escalation and understanding that, and also just violence that is going on in our own state. Like, sometimes I think we get so distracted, and I'm not saying it's not important to look at what's happening in other parts of the country. There's a lot happening, and in some regard, people feel like our world is kind of erupting, and that's valid, I guess, to feel that way. But sometimes I think we kind of take our eyes off of what is happening here in our own backyard that we should be focusing on. And one thing in particular is that we're not that great at de-escalating, or at least recognizing that that things can turn violent very quickly. I mean, a bunch of kids knocking on a person's door or window, I should say, and then just unloading, you know, guns. Another where, you know, an argument between neighbors turns to almost deadly in a stabbing. I mean, these are things that are literally happening here in Connecticut, and we're just not really talking about or kind of finding or navigating ways to de-escalate properly.
Yeah, you're right. And there is a lot of violence. And, you know, because we've talked about it, you know, Hamden police are really, really engaged with federal and state task forces. And so it's a really good police department. And I know the mayor and the chief kind of came out right away and said, listen, we're not going to tolerate this.
Yes.
But sometimes it's easier to talk. It's easier to talk about the national events and things, because sometimes it's harder to kind of really focus, because that gets a lot of attention, but it's harder to focus on what's really occurring in our own neighborhoods. And each incident of violence, you know, we know is different. So a crime of passion, maybe between two neighbors that escalates sometimes because someone throws snow on another. And I'm not saying this was the case, but, you know, snow plowing arguments about who puts snow where, or cutting a lawn, raking leaves, whatever it might be. Those neighbor disputes that turn to violence are one thing. This is so concerning because it's a group of individuals who are collaborating together. They have a plan and they're armed, and they go out to, you know, we could assume wanted to kill the individual. It's not that they went there to say, let's knock on the window and we're going to shoot him in the leg. They wanted to kill this individual because of the massive amount of firearms that they had. That's a totally different violence and really concerning as it relates to juveniles and what we're doing to enforce the laws and making sure that we deter them from choosing weapons to commit crimes.
And we are talking about violence in Connecticut. And granted, I want to make sure people realize we're not trying to sound the alarm here. Connecticut is still one of the safest states in the country. I do think, though, we can't just turn a blind eye to when you have a week's time where a lot of violent occurrences happen and they involve young people. We can't just say that was kind of a fluke. We have to take those moments and really recognize what stands out and see if we can change our future. We don't want history repeating itself. So we're talking to Gary McNamara again, who's the former chief of police in Fairfield. He currently runs public safety and government affairs at Sacred Heart. He's one of our law enforcement experts here on the show. So we're going to Hamden, where in particular, we're really focused on this awful shooting that took place. Thankfully, the person, the victim in this case, is, I believe, expected to make a full recovery. I know was shot in the legs and had to go to the hospital for this, but at least survived. And when you watch this video, Garrett, it's really disturbing, as you mentioned, very alarming. And there are things that stand out. First of all is, you know, you're right. A bunch of kids, and I'm going to call them kids, decided this was the right way to handle a situation that either bothered them, upset them, you know, vengeance, whatever the case may be. They thought this was a good idea. That's the first thing that should stand out, because it wasn't sort of flyby. I mean, they calmly walk up to a home. I don't know if this was the bedroom of the victim, but they walk up to a home, they knock on the window and kind of wait for a response and then just start firing off. And then they run away. In you know, there's obviously lights on the street that I'm hoping can help identify the people involved in this. But my point being is that you had mentioned that we are not doing a good enough job enforcing laws that can stop this type of criminal activity from happening. But also, are we doing a good enough job deterring youth from even turning to violence to begin with? So I want to kind of talk a little bit more about that with you.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of programs out there that, you know, that I know that Hamden is engaged in as it relates to trying to divert youth from violence. And there's some Connecticut programs that are out there. They really do a lot of work in trying to prevent violence and de-escalation amongst different groups and how to handle problems. So there are programs out there, but at the same time, let's look at it. First of all, how are they getting the guns? And we know that some of them are either in cars that they steal, where they find them, where they break into houses to get the firearms. And certainly there are probably other ways that guns are trafficked within the state. They're very comfortable using them. They don't have any regard for concerns for cameras or anything else. They drove there because apparently the reports are that they got in a car to leave. So we could assume that car was probably stolen, given the fact that oftentimes juveniles or others steal cars to commit some of these crimes. And so there's pathways along the way that they may be caught, besides just trying to get interviews done with who may have had a beef with you or who is out there to hurt you. There's traffic stops, and we've seen over time that we've minimized or we've lessened the amount of traffic stops that police officers can pull cars over for. Well, and I'm dating myself, but years ago, legitimate traffic stops for such things as totally blacked out tinted windows that remain illegal in the state of Connecticut, or erratic driving, unregistered vehicles. Those ways of stopping cars, certainly we want to be compassionate about people that are struggling to make ends meet. And so we want to maybe give them warnings and try to encourage them to register their cars and such. But when you have interactions with police, there are times when inside those vehicles are the firearms that we saw last week in Hamden. Mm-hmm. They got there some way and they were transported some way. So there's a series of ways in which we can have those conversations and look at really what are we doing to try to get these guns off and hold those people responsible.
Well, and I don't want to put the onus on you, Gary, but I do want to get sort of your opinion, especially because you are, I know you're currently obviously running public safety at a major, college in Connecticut. But as I'm going to say, a retired police officer, one of the things that we hear from current officers constantly is that we need to look at the police accountability law. And it sort of brings it full circle. When I talked in the beginning about sometimes I do think Connecticut focuses on acts of violence, not that we shouldn't. We should certainly be engaged. But sometimes I think we do things to show our support of other states, for example, or show our support of something that went on when it doesn't actually match what's happening in our state. And so, for example, I talk about the police accountability law, which in my opinion is not all bad. I don't think the entire thing was bad. I think that there were some really, really great things that came out of it. But we're finding, especially when it comes to juvenile crime year after year, we're missing the mark, or we're making it harder to detect things like guns in people's stolen vehicles by juveniles, even in the middle of the day. And so do you think that we, the time is now that we need to start having serious conversations in Hartford about maybe scaling back, or at least looking at the police accountability law and working better with local police departments, or working better, or changing even the narrative that we've almost created in our minds as law, that, being able to pull over cars or being able to have officers in schools is maybe not the worst thing on the planet. I mean, just finding more compromise, I think, in Connecticut.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we focus on statistics, crimes down and,
right,
or crimes up, crimes down. And depending upon what narrative you want to say, you can point to statistics. Let's take away the statistics and just look at this incident. That is not an anomaly. We don't see it a lot, but there are juveniles in the state and others that are carrying these high-powered firearms and choosing to use them in such a way that they don't really care. So rather than kind of debate, well, crime's down, that doesn't matter to the people that are in that neighborhood, or
right,
certainly to the victim. So what we need to do is say, let's get together and say, what are the solutions? Now, some of the solutions that police have, other people won't like. Like, we should be stopping more cars. We should be stopping more cars that are violating laws. Now, because we want to make sure that the cars are operating appropriately, but at the same time, we know that there are people, they got hit there somewhere. So we should be looking at that. How are we handling traffic stops? How are we supporting officers in those traffic stops in safe ways? to make sure that we don't have situations that people lose their lives over confrontation with police. I get all that stuff. But let's have those discussions as opposed to just saying, well, crime's down. And so we are doing a good job. And we are. But at the same time, let's maybe look at how we solve some of these problems. Because, Melissa, you mentioned something else. You mentioned the schools. The teenager, and I don't know the background of any of these individuals, so I don't know whether they're in school or not, but they may have brothers or sisters that are in school. Mm-hmm. So what happens in the streets on the weekend or in the evenings may, in fact, and does, in fact, sometimes carry over into our
schools. Trickle down into the schools. Yeah.
It does.
Right. But that's why I think, again, sometimes when I say that we focus outside of Connecticut too much, it's not because I don't have a heart for other states. But to your point, Gary, when something like if I lived in Hamden right now, I would be screaming at the fact that these are failures. I mean, in a week and a half's time to have this many juvenile crime and to not even really see the attention that I think it deserves. Like, I don't think Hamden got the attention that it deserves when you see all of this happen within a week's time. And I mean, I love to hear, obviously, in that community that the mayor and the police chief, they're working together. They're sitting down with youth organizations, nonprofits, police personnel, school officials. Like, I love that. But it shouldn't just be a Hamden problem. This should be something that the state of Connecticut is tackling and saying, hey, let's look at Connecticut compared to Connecticut. Stop comparing Connecticut to other states and let's look at what are the issues that are popping up and what are we effectively doing to attack it and make Connecticut the best version of itself. Not how do we make Connecticut better than every other state. I don't care about other states. I live here. My tax dollars are here. My kid is being raised here. I don't care about what other states are going through. And I don't mean that I'm not trying to be rude. But I do think sometimes we get so distracted by how do we compare to others that we miss what is happening in a town or a city that is severe and that we could be effectively changing, you know, and that's all. I get very frustrated by it, but I appreciate you having this conversation. We have unfortunately run out of time, and I certainly look forward to seeing what, if anything, does happen during the upcoming legislative session, because I would think that potentially the police accountability law would be looked at again. I don't know for sure, but I guess we'll see. But Gary, I appreciate you always giving us the time on the show. Thank you so much, and we'll talk soon.